Oh, this is Thursday. March the 11th. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about my life and up to the military, through the military, and after the military. You gonna be here all night? Okay. All right, we'll just run through some high spots. Let's see. Well, I'm 72 and a half, and I was in the Army, in the Air Force, during the World War II, and before that, I was involved in aviation since 1939 as a kid. I didn't think of the kid then, but now I look back at it as a kid. And Josh is sitting here laughing at me. But I worked for an outfit that in Meadville, Pennsylvania, that was had two colleges training men for Air Force instructors, and we had a lot of airplanes. It was all single engine airplanes, of course, open cockpit with most of them. We had 17 small enclosed airplanes, and this was exciting to me as a well, I guess I'd call me a teenager because I had reached my teens. But I worked there, and then I missed it in the Air Force when I was 17, and I finished high school in the service through correspondence courses, and which at that time I didn't think was too important, but oh my goodness, I can sure see how important it is to get an education. And now after the Air Force, I got out in 46. And I didn't want nothing to do with airplanes. I was flying in Italy, out of Foggia, Italy, on B-17s and B-25s. And when I got discharged, I didn't want nothing to do with airplanes. And so I went to work on construction. That was a big mistake, because I didn't work a half a year on construction, and I was on 4 feet above the fifth floor on a building and backed off backwards, and that laid me up for a long time. But I still kept going out to the airport on crutches and with cast on, and I still was involved with aviation. I got reacquainted. And so, let's see. Do you want to ask any questions?
Chris, go ahead.
No. Okay. Well, you want to ask a question, just jump in. Okay. And I went to school, aircraft mechanic school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I graduated from there with both licenses, and I got married and we moved to Mississippi, and I was working for the same outfit that I'd worked for before the war in Greenville, Mississippi. They had a training program going on for the military. We had 116 AT-6s, which was, at that time, was a big airplane. And we left down there and came back, came up to Michigan. And I went to work for American Airlines. And Carol and I was still involved in aviation. We wound up building an airport. And I was building, I got involved in building experimental aircraft. And I also had obtained my commercial pilot's license. And I flew for a corporation out of Detroit. And I flew for different clubs with DC-7s, 100 passenger airplanes. One out of Willow Run, one out of Metro, and one out of St. Louis, Missouri. But that kept me away from my family too much. And it just didn't make any difference to me how much they were paying, which was very, very good. But I, my family meant more, so I quit the whole thing. And I got my inspector, aircraft inspector's license. And I eventually got my examiner's license for mechanics. And I still do that. I still work with mechanics from issuing them their tests and their licenses for the FAA. And I've been doing that for quite a few years. I started in 1979. And that's been a very interesting job. I've dealt with people from all over the world, and Asia. I've licensed a number. See, if anybody wants to work on if a U.S. registered airplane lands in a foreign port, airport, they have to be attended by a certified, a U.S. certified mechanic. So these people would pick their best men and they'd send them over here to be licensed, and I, for a long time, I was getting most of them. And that was very interesting. And these young fellows was very intelligent. Of course, there was some that wasn't so young either. I licensed two guys that was 52 plus years. I licensed one guy from Israel that was, at that time he was 60. See, after 60 they can't fly commercially no more. So he'd seen this coming, and he switched over into maintenance. And I licensed him. It's been very interesting. Okay. Well, I won't be getting everything in exact sequence. Josh said that wasn't necessary, just wanted to know from World War II up. And I did join the Air National Guard in Pennsylvania. I was in a fighter group. And my wife and I moved from Pittsburgh back up north, and I got out. And that was the end of the military. So anyhow, we're back here in Michigan. Well, in the meantime, we've gone to Massachusetts, I'd worked for an airline, and I was I set up all the operation maintenance operations for Allegheny Airlines, which is now U.S. Airlines, U.S. Airways, and throughout New England. And we moved from there back to Michigan, and from there we moved over to Iowa, where my youngest son and I were part of seven men that built an experimental twin-engine airplane used for jungle work. It was primary, it's what it was designed to do for missionaries. And at last count, it was still flying in South America. But that was quite an experience. We built this thing. There was no other airplane like it. And we saw it through up to the licensing point. We saw it through all the flight tests, and we built components for the FAA to do their test on. And it was a tremendous thing. We really enjoyed it. And we moved from there back here. And one of the flying clubs out at Metro wanted me to come back and fly with them. I was an engineer, flight engineer. And so that pretty well took care of the heavy stuff. I did, while I was working for the airlines, I did get into some interesting phases. One of them was Delta Airlines sent 40 of us mechanics out to California. Convair was building a new type airplane. It had never been flown or put into production yet. And we went out there and saw it through. We studied it and saw it through all the tests. And we came back, and after we came back, they sent out more people, and they saw it through the flight test. And it became an airline airplane, which was very interesting. And well, let's see where we went from there.
Want to talk about when you were training, and then the plane crashed or whatever? That's when you got sent overseas.
Oh yeah, down. I was in Florida, and it was a depot for training and shipping flight crews overseas, and. There were some of the guys I was with down there. They went to Asia, and then of course some of us, well, out of that group, I was at that particular time, I was the only one that went to Europe. But we was training one night, and I had three students on board as pilots, and we was out training. And this is an 18-year-old teenager, and you grew up real quick. And there was five airplanes in an accident on the end of the runway. Nobody was hurt, but it was so bad weather. And I decided that was enough. I told the guys, let's park this thing. So we did, and I went into operations, and Sergeant, he said, Plattner, you're going back out. I said, no, I'm not. That was the prerogative of that particular scenario. It wasn't being disobedient. But of course, this was a training field. And so I went back to the barracks, and the next morning, where were we at?
You're just saying he was, just met him and he was a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Older than you.
Okay, well, we had a somewhat of a reunion that evening, and then he went on his way, and I went on mine. But I guess we've covered most of the... It wasn't all in sequence, I understand that, but we've covered most of it. And we've been at this about 40 minutes now.
Yeah.
So I think is that enough for you?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, let's turn it off.